When did they start their rebuild, or when should they have started their rebuild?
Okay. All right. Okay. So here's when did they actually start the rebuild? When did they actually start?
When Lidstrom retired.
When did they actually restart it? Well, or right. If they're smart, about 6 days from now.
Oh, God. Someone call the fire department. I smell smoke.
You've come in for a good one today, tonight, whenever you're listening to this. Show 42. Oh, I already feel the love. It's going to be a good one. Welcome into the Pucknologist here on TealTownUSA.com. Oh, I'm your host, AJ underscore strong on all those social media things. In real life, I actually forgo the underscore. Who knew? Joining me, as always, the lovely, the talented, the Rocket Backhander.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I am Rocket Backhander. Accept no substitutes.
Absolutely. And joining me also, we have a proud future Bucker jersey owner, Hockey Jerk.
Today is February 20th, 2018, at 7:47 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, and Yannick Hansen has still not been traded.
Enough that I can't wait till you change that date where it's kind of like today is February 23rd, 2018, and Hockey Jerk now possesses a Mikhail Botker jersey. But I digress. Let's move on. We'll get into that a little bit later. The Sharks right now, as it stands, after picking up a 3-2 victory over the St. Louis Blues, the Sharks now have a record of 33-19 and 8, good for 74 points. The Sharks remain second in their division as the Kings climb into the third spot with 72 points. Anaheim goes to fourth with 71 points, and Calgary falls to fifth with 69. 5 points now separating second and fifth. Used to be three. We're starting to see a little bit of separation. But since we last left you, the Sharks have played themselves 4 games, picking up a loss, and then 3 consecutive victories. So we start versus the Desert Dogs. Drink them if you got them, people. The Dogs would pick up a 2-1 victory over the Sharks in what was probably the second worst officiated game I've ever seen, aside from the Vegas game. The Vegas game is going to be hard to top that one. So, Rocket, were you able to watch this Dogs game and what passes for officiating in the NHL on this one?
I am pretty sure I didn't see this game because even if I saw this game, I probably would have been blackout drunk by the end of it because of all the Desert Dogs mentions. Usually I look forward to playing the Desert Dogs drinking game, so that's how I'm fairly certain I didn't see this game. I was kind of surprised, though. I mean, the Sharks have had Coyotes all year, so this was the first time that they was lost in regulation, right?
This is the first time they lost at all. So, yeah, not a great one. Jerk, what you think about the Dogs?
Well, I was very surprised to see them get their first loss against the Coyotes this late into the season when you consider it seemed like Arizona has had their number for a while now. But like you said, the officiating, I mean, those of you who listen know that's one of the things I like to talk about the least. But good God, do something. Like, there were so many people with the blue check mark on Twitter saying, refs need to get this game under control. And then like 3 minutes later, those same people were like, well, ... Yeah. So evidently it didn't happen.
Maybe I did watch this game. There have been a lot of roughly officiated games lately where I felt like I've posted stuff like this on Twitter, like lately.
No, it was bad. I mean, Wedgwood got pulled in the first minute of the third period after taking what would be his third hit of the game. Yeah, he appeared to hit his head on the crossbar after Timo Meier crashed into him. Ranta steps in, makes 12 saves off the bench, completely cold. Got to give it up for Ranta for pulling that off because the Sharks obviously were in panic mode, but this would be one of those games where the power play would doom them one more time. 0-for-4 on the power play, so it's not like they did not get chances. Again, you can sit there and lament how bad the officiating was, but the Sharks did get 4 power play opportunities. And unfortunately, the penalty kill was only able to stop one of the two that they were granted on that. So we also lost Hurdle going out late in the first period when he sustained an apparent injury to his right arm or his shoulder or his hand, whatever the coach, something, shall we just say, upper body, after slamming into the end boards during a puck battle with Nick Cousins. So I'm quite sure Jerk and Rocket, I'll start with you, Jerk. I'm quite sure your Twitter exploded when Burns got moved to forward for a few shifts in the third to fill the void left by Hurdle and possibly try to find a spark for this team. But save your tweets, kids. He's not going back, at least not until the next game.
I think it's another positional move. It'll be to in between the pipes. He's going to play goalie next.
Yeah.
He's already halfway there.
And it was funny because when I when I originally saw all these tweets about Brent Burns playing forward, it originally started with, I think it was Paul Gackle who said, like, oh, Burns is now with Pavelski. And I'm like, okay, why are people dragging up tweets from like 4 years ago randomly? And then I look at the date and I'm like, what? Like, is this really happening right now? And then sure enough, it's happening. And I'm just, I was honestly perplexed. Like, I almost picture, you know, DeBoer being on the bench, you know, and saying like, okay, you know, Pokey, Burnsy, and Timo, get out there. And he kind of looks up where Doug Wilson's sitting, and Doug Wilson is just looking at him and gives him like the finger across the throat hand motion.
Wow. Yeah, just to jump back into the officiating for a second. Yeah, this was sad when Dylan is cross-checked in front of the net, official standing 8 feet away, no call. Couture not only gets cross-checked, Couture gets high-sticked in the circle, not once but twice. And towards the end of the game, LeBanc gets tripped in front of the net, no call. Let me put it this way. The refs were so bad in this one. Not only was Brett Hedekin ready to jump on the ice, and in fact, this is what he said during the broadcast, even Randy Hahn, Mr. Unbiased, if you will, literally on the broadcast goes, refs, make a call.
I remember this. I must have been at work for part of this, but I did see some of it because I remember Brendan Dillon getting cross-checked and going over to the referee and trying to explain to him that was a penalty and he really should have called it, you know, like, and if Brendan Dillon is having to correct you as an official on your game, a 5'6" D man has to correct you and he's right. What does that say about your level of officiating? How thick is the envelope you're getting is what I want to know. Because at this point, if there are no answers, then the obvious answer is shenanigans. And that's thick envelopes.
Well, and like AJ said, you know, Randy Hahn, Mr. Unbiased, was saying make a call. And that's exactly the point I was going to make too, especially Randy and Brett Hedekin are both notorious for, you know, calling it right down the middle, even if it's not in the favor of the Sharks. And they were noticeably, you know, irked by it, and rightfully so. I mean, you hate to see a game that was as close as this one was in terms of score just totally unravel like that.
Oh, you're talking as an official in a perfect world. If you are part of an officiating crew, your job is to just be invisible. The game will flow properly. It will, you know, the whistles will be called when they need to. You are invisible. You are unnoticeable. Everybody talks about the great plays the skater made. Everybody talks about the great saves the goalies had. You know, they talk about everything but the officials. The moment where the focus becomes about the official and not about the actual game that they're officiating, the officials have quote unquote lost. So, I mean, referees are out there for every shift, but they still can win or lose on their own team. And they lost that game for themselves, definitely.
That's an excellent mindset that I've never actually considered.
No, that's, I mean, I've seen something similar to that where it's just the tagline is kind of, if the officials are mentioned in the post game, they did something wrong. If they're not mentioned, then they had a great game. Pretty much it. So the Sharks would take this opportunity to let the dogs go and bring in the Canucks.
Wait, I just have a question for you really quick.
Sure.
Who scored the only goal for the Sharks against Arizona?
Oh, that might have been Bodker, but I'm not sure.
It was.
Good for you. Okay. Well, that would be kind of a theme this week when it comes to Sharks hockey. Evidently, this week was built in Bodker goals and zero power plays. So Sharks face Vancouver, pick up a 4-1 victory. Burns, of course, moved to forward, just as everybody's been complaining about for the last 2.5 seasons. But obviously to maybe give the team a little spark, also to fill the void of Hurdle not being there. We see the return of Timmy Heed. And this is one of those kind of funky games where the Canucks literally won every stat except the scoreboard. Rocket, what say you?
Canucks are in the middle of a rebuild. I think, you know, they're just getting ready for the departure of the Sedins, and I don't think they want to be left completely flat-footed when their two-star players, franchise star players, leave the roster. I don't think they want to just be stuck with rentals and young kids who haven't yet reached anywhere near their halfway mark of potential in the NHL careers they're bound to have. So I think that their play definitely shows that there are bright sparks in that lineup. You know, they have some really fast pieces. They just signed Gudbrandsson again. So they're building a solid roster. Well, I know, but I still think that he's still a solid piece. Leave me alone.
That's fair.
Listen, he's not Roman Polak, okay?
I know.
depending on who you ask, they would disagree with you.
I know. I think he's a good fit for the Canucks. Maybe not for out east, but I think for the Canucks. Yeah, I think he's a good fit for that club. Obviously, well, yeah, they think so too.
You know, suck and suck generally go well together.
You gotta go in the same direction. You know, you can't fight the system. You just gotta buy into it. So if the system sucks, you suck. And if you do it, then you're part of the club. Club suck.
But wait a minute, Jerk. Didn't I read something, if I remember correctly, like the Canucks just gave Benning an extension? I mean, they're buying into this rebuild.
Yeah, they gave Jim Benning a 3-year extension like a week ago. And again, depending on who you ask, there are, you know, differing opinions on this. There are some who think that he is much better with, or excuse me, much better than Mike Gillis, and I'm inclined to agree. But then there are also some who say that he has made some really stupid decisions, which I'm inclined to agree. So there's really no way to know how these next 3 years are going to play out, but I have a theory that it's not going to go well.
Mm-hmm. This is another game where, lo and behold, Mikkel Bakker gets on the score sheet with a beautiful tip, actually, from Tierney. And the other shot that I just wanted to point out from this was Sorensen just had a sniper of a shot in the third period. So if you get the opportunity to look at the replay on that, I suggest you do, because it is a sweet shot. And in this one, Burns also tallies his 40th assist on the season. So clearly a guy who has turned it around just a skosh.
I'm sorry to interrupt you, the second player in franchise history to have four or more 40 assist seasons.
Damn, look at him go.
That's a good stat.
Okay, he can keep his beard that way. I'm fine with it. We move on to Dallas. Now, if you remember correctly, the last time the Sharks faced Dallas was to close out 2017, and it was a hit show. And I would usually put another S on that, and it wouldn't be at the beginning of the word, but it was a hit show where the Sharks lost 6-0 in Dallas. This one was a great game. The Sharks just absolutely dominated the Stars in the first period. They scored 4 goals on their first 5 shots. It was ridiculous. And, of course, Bodker, again, figures into the score sheet, scores twice. And I think it just needs to be said, when Bodker scores 2 goals in a game, the Sharks are undefeated. So, I mean, that's huge. the weird thing on this one, though, Brent Burns would miss the final 16.5 of the last period. No real explanation, just wasn't feeling it or something. I'm sure we'll hear about it sometime in, I don't know, June. But either way, that part was odd. But aside from the rest of it, I got to say I was really bummed out when Dallas finally did get on the board about 5.5 into the third period, just because I was really rooting for this. I would have taken a 5-0 shootout after the 6-0 shutter that Dallas put on the Sharks, but Rocket, I mean, that a lot of guys got into the scoring, but of course, none more so than Bodker.
This is so true. I think about this game that last game against Dallas must have just really been in the back of their minds, you know, and they were just all individually as players thinking, oh, you bastards, I'm going to get you. I'm going to get you. I'm going to get you. And I'm going to get you and you and you too. And so when the time came, they were ready. This was, if the Sharks ever wanted to make a statement, I think that game was the statement game. The first goal came something like 30 seconds into the first period.
Oh, Pavelski, 27 seconds. Yeah. It was okay, just boom. Didn't and even have time to drink the beer.
Nope. And that was fun. And it stayed fun all night long. That's how I like Sharks hockey. Fun all night long.
But something about what? In your face thrusting? Something like that? I don't know.
Fun must be always in your face thrusting.
That's right. Also of note, Pavelski gets his 30th assists in this one, and Meyer picks up his 9th and 10th assists in this one. So starting to figure that out. Jerk, what did you like from Big D?
Well,
it wasn't hanging out, was it? No.
It was not hanging out. It was a skosh wet.
it wasn't a completely dry D. Okay.
No. Okay. But I liked everything about this game. Obviously, you know, Miguel Bodker continues his hot bod streak. Even, you know, these four games that we're going to be talking about tonight, yes, but 2018 as a whole, he's at 12 goals right now, and 10 of them are in 2018, which is fascinating to me. But I liked the quick start to this game, and I liked too that the Sharks, you know, got up 5-0 and they kept on pressing. There was no Todd McClellan, okay, let's just ease off, we got this in the bag. You know, it was press from minute 0 to minute 60. And going on back to what you said about Brent Burns sticking out, you know, judging by the fact that he played against the Blues, makes me think that it was a precautionary type deal. And I mean, if you're up 5-0, why risk something, you know?
That's a great point.
Yeah. And you talk about press. I love that too. But then again, we can go back to, I wish I could remember the game off the top of my head, but where the Sharks literally blew away 2-3 goal leads.
Oh, that was Ottawa.
Yeah. So I think you would think that PDB has kind of like saying that on the bench after the game. Oh, we pissed away 3 goal leads before. You better get out there. So to finish off the kind of week that was in Sharks hockey, of course, the Sharks are victorious, heading out on their road trip, picking up a victory against the St. Louis Blues. Of course, this had disaster written all over it because, of course, the Blues started their backup goaltender, Hutton. But in the man who cannot be denied right now, Mikael Bodker, gets the game winner. Not only does he get a game winner, he gets an assist. And he also gets a guy to have to buy his jersey. Would you like to fill us in a little bit more into that hockey jersey?
Okay, let me pull up my Twitter app, and I will go through the 124 notifications that I had.
Which all happened in a span of like 2 minutes.
So it all started when I tweeted saying, if Mikael Bodker scores to extend his goal streak to 4 games, I will buy a jersey. Couple people retweeted it and was like, oh, you know, I can't wait to see this happen. But even if it's Connor McDavid, the chances of that happening, it's very slim. It's difficult to score in the NHL at all, let alone in 4 straight games. And then it was 3-1 Sharks. Now, I'm not looking at the TV when Bodker scores. I just hear Bodker with the puck and he scores. And maybe a minute after that happens, that's my phone.
And we also of note, were you watching when Bodker earlier in the game put it off the pipe?
I did see that, and I got really nervous because I was like, oh, damn, that's close. Just going really through really quick, Vince G tweets me a gif of a guy smiling. Benjamin Castle tags me in the goal gif. Vince G says, might as well order a new phone too. The mentions are going to make your phone melt. Sharks Girl says, eat your words now. We want to see the receipt for that jersey. It's a girl thing, says we're going to need a photo. Kyle Demetrius says, I can pick one up at Pro Hockey Life tomorrow. AJ says he heard Jerk would make a bet. Wins Hockey says hot bod. Sharks Girl says teal jersey, what size? Alyssa Green says teal or white. Four Paws Up for Hockey says, would you like the name to be glittery? Chris Edwards says we have a winner. Jordan tweets me a gif of a Sharks fan high-fiving. Chris Edwards tweets skulls. Dry Scrape tweets a gif of Dr. Cox from Scrubs laughing. Mike Powell tweets, got to get on that jersey. Cheryl says, Hockey Jerk's getting a new sweater. Dave B. Pilot says, we need proof. Jordan says, hell yeah. Girl Thing says, time to pick out your jersey. AJ tweets a gif of Mike Tyson laughing. Circling the Cups says, LOL. Girth Brooks says, hot bod. Puck Guy says, hot bod. Dave B. Pilot tweets AJ and myself with the sunglasses emoji.
So I think what we've all learned is that Hockey Jerk has a lot of friends on Twitter.
I got three followers out of that.
I was going to say, I was going to tweet something, but it's hard to get a gif of...
That was good.
And if you sift through all of those retweets, you see a tweet from me in all caps. It just says, oh my god.
You ain't lying. So we look forward to the future episode where we can discuss your purchase and how that went. So the Sharks get a good start on this four-game roadie through the gauntlet that is the Central Division. Coming up next for them is Nashville. That will not be easy, but...
I'll be there to make it better.
Of course, as we would expect. And then to have a little fun with this, on the end of the trip, the Sharks finally face Chicago, who they have not seen this entire season. Go figure. How bizarre is that? So anyway, that wraps up the week that was in Sharks hockey, which leads us into Shark Bites. When, guys, do you think that we see the return of, like, healthy bodies? We've seen Sorensen go out versus St. Louis. Obviously, Hurdle went out earlier in the week, already missing Jumbo. I mean, can the Sharks, like, play a week where we don't lose another player or something? I mean, I don't think Jumbo's coming back this season.
Me neither.
Now, okay, Rocket, when do you think Hurdle comes back? Because he is skating.
Yeah, well, if he's skating and they say it's like a little upper body thing, it can't be more than a couple games if he's skating. As long as he's not, like, wearing the red jersey of death, he'll be all right.
But they did put him on the IR, and Jerk, correct me if I'm wrong, doesn't that mean like a minimum of 7 days you have to be out?
It does mean a minimum of 7 days, but you can also put them on IR retroactive to a certain date. So I believe Hurdle was put on the IR on the 19th, but as we know, that game against Arizona was way before the 19th, the 13th. So theoretically, I mean, I don't think it was ever said when it was retroactive to, but theoretically he could already be eligible to come back if it was retroactive to the day after the Coyotes game.
Okay, so it'll be interesting to see who comes back first. I mean, Hurdle, Ward, I would imagine Sorensen, unless Sorensen...
Sorensen already came back.
Oh, okay, he did make it back in the game? Okay. I saw him go out, wasn't sure. And that's one of those things as well, though. You can see a guy go out, come back, play a little bit, and then you don't see him for two games. You know, like it gets worse before it gets better. We'll see what happens. Trade alert. The Sharks have traded their 2020 seventh round draft pick for Eric Fehr. Now, going to ask you, Jerk, why bother? I mean, break this down for us. Why trade for an AHLer? I mean, he's not known as a fighter, not the most physical guy. Yes, he can play all, you know, penalty and PK, and he's probably got a bit more in the way of just that you can trust him a bit more than maybe the younger guys or a smaller guy like O'Regan. I mean, Fehr is what, like 6'2", 220? I mean,
Fehr is 6'4".
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, then
he's a big one.
Well, not compared to John Scott, I'm just saying. But
anyway. Oh, sure. But
what's this guy going to do for us? Is it, I mean, the Sharks, I mean, essentially give away next to nothing with a seventh rounder. And it is for essentially a rental
you know, a lot of people have said he's an AHLer, but you know what? Eric Fehr has had some success in the NHL. I mean, has a cup ring against the Sharks. And I remember specifically, I believe it was either three or four of that series where the Joe Thornton line, you know, the big gun line, so to speak, was hemmed in by Eric Fehr's line for a lengthy amount of time. And that kind of shows you how smart of a player defensively is. And, you know, he is 6'4", so he's, you know, got a lot of control of his body and he can use it if he needs to. And obviously he's really good at penalty killing. I mean, I think the Sharks penalty kill is already doing well, but you can never have enough penalty killers. And then, you know, there's obviously concern for injury. I mean, anybody could get hurt at any time and there's no way to know. And then keep in mind, too, a majority of the season, Joel Ward and Barkley Goodrow, both natural wingers, have been playing center. So I think you bring in Eric Fehr and it just gives you a little more security in that role. And honestly, considering it's a 7th-round pick 2 years from now, I'm not even kind of sweating this.
Yeah. But now, can you answer me this? If you go on to Cap Friendly and you look at the cap right now for the Sharks, it has Eric Fehr listed under buried.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what does that mean? Does that count against the Sharks? So, the cap?
So when you're buried, it means that you have a salary that's higher than $950,000, which is the highest your entry level deal can be. And so when it's buried, it means you're essentially in the minors. And I could be a little screwed up on the numbers, but when you have a guy who's buried in the minors, like Paul Martin was this year, his cap hit is 90% of what it would be if he's in the NHL. So, for example, Paul Martin clocking in at $4.85 million because he's on the NHL club. If he was back with the Barracuda, he would count for 3.82 against the salary cap. And not to get too into it, but that's something they came up with in the last CBA where you had, you know, $7 million man Wade Redden only counting for $900K because the NHL didn't have rules for buried salary.
Awesome. Yeah. Right, hey, the more you know.
You know what? I remember this, Hockey Jerk, I remember this topic as one of our skate conversations.
It's very true.
See? Aww. This is what happens when it's skating with Rocket and Jerk. Never know what's going to get spoken of.
Again, 100% again.
You never know what topic we're going to get stuck on.
Yeah, right. Oh, speaking, you know, she invoked it. Didn't I just read something about Aginla wanting to come back?
Dad!
Yeah, he's skating with the Providence Bruins to see, excuse me, if he can still go at an NHL level. And, you know, the deadline to be eligible for the playoffs is the trade deadline. If he signs with a team any later than the trade deadline, he can only play in the regular season.
So probably should have saved that for around the horn, but it's okay. You know, talking about moves and dad, it was invoked. So we go out of Shark Bites and move into our 3 stars of the week, or what we like to call.
Oh, good for you.
And as always, we start with a third pick from Hockey Jerk.
So my number 3 star is Mikael Boedker for having a really good 2018 and, you know, continuing to develop the chemistry that I've definitely enjoyed watching him develop with Chris Tierney. And I'm hoping it's a sign of things to come because after this year, we got 2 more years of Mikael Boedker.
Do we really still have 2 years left?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Well, 4-year deal at $4 million per year.
All right. Well, let's hope Hot Bod catches fire and stays hot for another 2 years. Huh?
Yeah. Let's see Hotter Bod like trend.
Scorching Hot Bod.
That's right. Okay. So my 3rd star, of course, also Mikael Boedker, simply for making Hockey Jerk need to go out and buy his sweater. Rocket.
My 3rd star. Is Mark Edward Vlasic. He's been having a pretty good week. Why not?
Sure, I'll buy it. On to the second. My 2nd star, of course, goes to Hockey Jerk for making this silly comment on Twitter about Boedker. and now having to make good on it and buy himself a vodka jersey. And there was okay. Now I'll give you this. There was, correct me if I'm wrong, there was no stipulation as to whether it had to be a Fanatics or an Authentic, right?
You know what? I just said jersey, so it's open to interpretation.
Oh, there you go.
Maybe it could be an Arizona Coyotes jersey, since we know how much I like them.
That's true.
A Kachina? Would it be a Kachina jersey?
Oh, if it's not a Kachina, then I don't want it.
All right.
Okay.
All or right. It could be, what, couldn't it be like a World's jersey too or something?
Yeah, I mean, you know, he really warmed the bench nicely for Team Europe at the World Cup, so that's an option.
Someone's got to do it. Right.
So as Rocket likes to say, you know, someone's got to be good at opening and closing that door.
Indeed.
He tracks those face-off stats like nobody else.
Right? Rocket, your second?
My second star is also going to Hockey Jerk for making this a whole lot of fun. This whole vodka thing, like watching you guys banter about Blacker and how much he's terrible and trying to be impartial about the whole thing while kind of, I really enjoyed it. So thanks a lot, Hockey Jerk, for your sweater.
I aim to please.
Okay, please us with your second selection.
My second star of the week is Mikhail Bodker for going on a 4-game goal streak and for making my bet with AJ much more realistic.
Oh, it is interesting. We've moved to the number one. And Rocket, who's yours?
My number one star is, surprisingly, Mikhail Bodker. Hey, what do you know? The guy scores points, he's on fire, he's hot bod. Why shouldn't he be number one? Look at how much conversation and enjoyment he's giving us off the ice with his on-ice product. That right there is a true professional.
That's what I'm saying. Hockey Jerk, who's your numero uno?
My number one star for the week is Mikhail Bodker for making me have to buy a freaking sweater.
Dear Lord.
The chances... Okay, now...
You know, Gen X would be able to figure out the math on this. I'm sorry.
I did... You know what? I did this last year with Kevin LeBanc, where I said if Kevin LeBanc scores, then I would get a jersey with...
Didn't I do the same thing?
Yes, we both did it, where we said if LeBanc scores...
It was like in a shootout, right?
Mm-hmm. We would get a LeBanc jersey autographed as well. And you can go back on my Twitter from, I believe it was in July or August. I posted a picture of it. So there you go. But to think that in my life, this has happened twice.
In your brief life?
I'm kind of scared for my prophecal, if that's a word, powers. Prophecy fulfilling.
Your tombstone is just going to read hashtag foreseen.
It's going to say hashtag hot bod.
In fact, that's what you should have the nameplate read. If you're going to do it personal, just get hot bod 89. There you go.
Oh my God.
I would do that just as a jersey foul.
Yeah, right? So we'll move to my numero uno for the week. And of course it has to go to Randy Hahn just for him calling out the BS officiating versus Arizona saying, refs, make a call. I thought that was brilliant. So yes, Shark Voice, you get my number one star for the week. And if you were named one of our number one stars,
oh, good for you.
There's really not a lot. You would think there would be, considering where we're at in the season, but there's not a whole lot to get into, but there is something, so we have to open it up. That's right. That's how sad Around the Horn is this week, because all there is to talk about is Mrazek, or what's his name?
Mrazek.
Mrazek. I don't know. Who is there a player named Mrazek?
There's a player named Marek Mazanek, I think.
Wow.
I don't know what I always get. I don't understand why I always want to say Mrazek. But anyway, he gets traded to Philly for a third and fourth from Detroit. Philly had to do something while currently sitting in third and losing Brian Elliott and Neuvirth to injury. And I thought I read probably both for the season.
Neuvirth, I believe, is out for... I don't remember the number, but I know
typical 4 to 6 weeks.
Well, I think I saw months. which, you know, not good. And as for Brian Elliott, even if he's healthy, I'm sorry to say, Flyers fans, Brian Elliott is not the answer.
Yeah.
Elliott.
You
son. Boy, I haven't heard that one in a while.
Right?
I mean, how much Detroit or Philly have you watched, Rocket?
I have seen Detroit and Philly both when they've played against the Predators and a little bit against the Sharks, but otherwise I haven't seen too much of them. Philly is doing surprisingly better than I expected them to this year. I mean, Wayne Simmons is having a heck of a year, and Claude Giroux continues to not be old, which is weird. But you know what I mean? Like, he just
Claude Giroux,
I'm coming for you with my sickle.
I like this trade for the Flyers because it wasn't that long ago that Mrazek played well enough to steal the starting job from Jimmy Howard, but also hold on to it for a full season. And I mean, he's had a tough go of it, I would say, the last 18 months. But, you know, if Mrazek can find his game, this is going to be like Dubnyk to the Wild for a third level of fleecery.
That could be nice.
Yeah, I can see that.
Is it just me? Is it like Detroit? Boy, they hold onto their goalies for a while, and then there's that guy who just comes along and just takes it. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and that's what happened. You remember, once upon a time, when Jimmy Howard was a young guy, he wrestled the starting job away from, I want to say, Chris Osgood, like in 2009.
And didn't Osgood basically wrestle it away from Mike Vernon?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. So that it's like, boy, they just, you know, it's not like the Sharks where you had Nabby for a while, nobody could really wrestle it away, so they let him go and go get Nemo, and but you know, so. Interesting the way that that's rolled in nets for Detroit over the last, since the Sharks' inception.
Haven't they been in a perpetual rebuild, though, for a very long time?
What, 5 years, maybe? Three years?
Well, so this is...
After being perpetually great for 20 years?
So phrasing is key here. Are you asking, when did they start their rebuild, or when should they have started their rebuild?
Okay. All right. Okay, so here's... When did they actually start the rebuild? When did they actually start?
When Lidstrom retired.
when did they actually restart it? Well, or right. If they're smart, about 6 days from now.
Oh, God. Someone call the fire department. I smell smoke.
when should they have? I mean... You know, they appeared in the cup final in 2009, and they had some success between 2009 and 2013. I want to say they had at least two Western Conference final appearances, but then 2014 to 2016, you have three straight first round exits where you only won like four games over that course, or five games. And then, you know, last year, not even making the playoffs. So,
have they, like, honestly, like, have they done anything significant since the exit of Pavel Datsyuk?
The good significant or bad significant?
I'll let you make the call on that one.
So, bad significant. They were so desperate to get rid of Pavel Datsyuk, and rightfully so, that they traded away the draft pick that was Jacob Chychrun, who looks like a franchise defenseman for the Coyotes.
Wasn't that glorious year when like the Coyotes were awesome because they had not only Pavel Datsyuk but Chris Pronger
and Dave Boland?
Yeah. God, but that was when Arizona would have been great if only it had been like a decade earlier with those players.
Is Detroit's farm team is the Griffins, right?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. So have they been just kind of like empty in the cabinet for the last couple of years then, and just with this whole onset of, you know, Bertuzzi and a couple of the kids, and they're just now brought up, is that emptying their cabinet again?
Isn't that the same though, kind of like as the Sharks, where you perpetually go to the playoffs year after year after year, so you get low pick after low pick after low pick, and that's exactly
what it is. And I mean, I you know, Rocket is right, the Griffins have been depleted. I mean, Anthony Mantha was a stud for them. He's with the big club. Same with Tyler Bertuzzi. Same with Athanas Tyler Bertuzzi
is a bum. He will always be a bum.
And
tell us how you really feel.
Well, hold on. Wasn't Dylan Larkin pretty good too?
Oh yeah, Dylan Larkin is good, but I believe Dylan Larkin went straight from getting drafted to the NHL, which is unheard of on the Detroit Red Wings, especially when Mike Babcock was the coach. But that shows you how good it is and how good he is, excuse me. And oh man, I could do a whole show about on how the Red Wings need to fix their team. But to give you an idea of the Grand Rapids Griffins, their top 6 point scorers, only one of them is under the age of 24.
Wow. Oh.
Yeah, they let them marinate.
Wow.
Or they just suck.
I was going to say marinate is not the word I would use. The word I would use is these guys have missed their window to make the jump and now they're just stuck.
Journeyman.
But
yeah.
The Red Wings do have a handful of good pieces. I mean, Dominic Turgeon, Evgeny Svechnikov, you know, Vili Saarijärvi, if I'm saying that right.
Bless you. I know who you're talking about.
They, and you know, former Sharks draft pick Dylan Sadoway, no points in 9 games, but still only 21.
Wow. Jeez. No windows, no door. There's not even a glory hole in this room. There's just no way these guys are getting out at this point.
Picture trying to look at something, but there's a stone wall in front of you.
Oh man. You know, the only reason I know about so much of these kids is because of all the AHL hockey I watched at SAP Center. I would just like to take a brief moment that if you are in town, or if you are in any town in the United States where there is an AHL league, you need to go and watch, because these are the names that are going to be around for a while. And the sooner you learn them, the better off you'll be as a fan.
And hey, the price is right, kids.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I mean, it's cheaper than a movie, for Pete's sakes. I mean, come on.
And you always know somebody's going to win and somebody's going to lose. You never get like this weird plot twist in the center, then leave disappointed.
Yeah, right? So time to do our previews of the following games. Again, I mentioned it earlier in the show. Sharks heading out on the Central Division Gauntlet road trip. We got to see how they do versus the Predators. Of course, I assume Rocket's going to like bring burritos to just like throw on the ice during warm-ups.
I'll bring a bag of Poncho and Lefty's. There's a Mexican place directly across the street from Bridgestone called Poncho and Lefty's Cantina. So I'll just bring a bag and hold it up to the ice and be like, yo, burritos.
Oh my God. Do me a favor. I'm not even kidding you. You have to get a bag into the arena. Like, okay. Even if you just like grab a bag, it doesn't even have to be full. Just grab a bag, bring it with you, and then be up against the glass in your Sharks jersey during warmups where you know the camera angle is pointing, and just be holding that up. And I'm sure they will show you during, and then you can like put a couple things that you can put like a shirt in there. So it looks like there's some weight, but you can be, you know, with the teal wig, the white jersey, and just be like waving your bag of burrito. Oh my God. That would be the most glorious thing. I will figure out a way to gift that, make that my phone wallpaper. That would be glorious.
But I can.
Then head up to Chicago, face the Hawks, and then scout you a little further north up to the Wild. So, Rocket, how do you think, after picking up a victory in St. Louis, how do you think the boys fare over the next three?
Yeah, okay, so the Predators played tonight, too, and they won, 3-2 over, I don't know who they were. They were playing the Red Wings. Predators are second in their division right now, I think, and the Winnipeg Jets are fighting back. They're tied with Winnipeg, but they have a game in hand. So, no, tonight makes them ahead. They're first in their division, but they are constantly fighting with Winnipeg. Anyway, my point is that it's going to be hard, and it's going to be a tough game for the Sharks because nobody on the Predators team is injured. And all of these guys are in, like, hardcore playoff mode right now. They just made a trade for some dude. They offloaded their enforcer. They're like in full on like go big or go home mode. So I don't know if the Sharks, being the second game in on a road trip and being somewhat banged up, are going to be able to sustain themselves a good hard 60 minutes of hockey against this club without either losing or losing players. So it's going to be a sacrifice either on the scoreboard or on the bench. One of the two. I don't know which.
Well, and, you know, lest we forget, in the next week to 10 days, they will be getting Mike Fisher back.
They might be getting him back tomorrow night.
Well, there you go.
Yeah. That,
Okay, so
frankly, I'm not impressed by that, but that's a completely other topic. Yeah, you don't want to talk about that with me. So then they go to Chicago, see, home of the hot dog, see, Al Capone, he's gonna be on the ice, gonna open his vault, nothing in it. So Sharks are gonna win, Hawks are gonna lose, and then in the Wild, Sharks will take it to overtime and lose.
So you're saying loss, win, OTL?
Correct.
I am right there with you, jerk.
I am saying loss, win, OT, win.
All right. And remember this foreseen. Yeah. What jersey will you be buying if you get this right?
Well, mine.
All I'll say is that in these next three games, Mikhail Bodker is going to have a goal and three assists.
Which will lead to which purchase?
I don't know.
A puck? A Bodker puck?
I've got three pucks autographed by that fool. I don't need any more.
Wow. Okay, then. In fact, you know what? The Sharks just versus Dallas, they did President's Day mystery pucks. And lo and behold, I ended up with an autographed puck from, as you call him, that fool. In fact, perhaps that should be the nameplate on the back of the 89 jersey.
Right?
That fool.
Pity the fool.
Right. So Hockey Jerk, final thoughts on where the people can find you, good sir. This is our last show before the deadline, right? Deadline's on the 26th.
Yes, sir.
Which is the next time we should be recording. So that will be a fun show. We might have to bring on a special guest or something.
What are you talking about? I'm here every week.
Oh, that is true. Well, hey, you're not here every week. We had some guy named Hockey Punk filling in for you not too long ago, but
be careful what you say. He might be listening.
That's very true. No, he's busy doing other things. Final thoughts on where the people can find you, buddy.
Final thoughts. Well, I will soon own a Mikhail Bodker jersey. I will say this, being a broke college student, it's not going to come tomorrow, but it's going to come. So be patient, jerk verse. That's a bad play on universe. Secondly, it is February 20th, 2018 at 8:36 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, and Yannick Hansen has not been traded. And I guess you can follow me on Twitter at @hockey_jerk if you want.
There you go. I was waiting for it. I thought that you were, it was like a good wine. You were just letting it breathe there for a moment. Rocket, your final and where the people can find you on the social media, see?
Oh, my gosh. This is the first time I get to see my boys in teal live in almost 6 months. And there will be tears. So I will have to wear all the waterproof makeup and stuff. And I will definitely be in full green wig and everything. And I'm going to cry. I really am, because I miss watching them skate so much. You guys have no idea how many mornings on my day off, I would wake up early morning on my day off and I would get dressed and go drive down to Sharks Ice to watch them practice, just to watch them practice. I wasn't autograph hunting. I wasn't taking photographs. You know, I was just watching them, and I really, really miss that. And I don't get that same connection here in Nashville. So the guys in teal, they're my boys and I love them. I'm there to support them. Win or lose, I'm going to be a proud Sharks fan tomorrow. My name is Rocket Backhander, and you can find me, proud Sharks fan, on Twitter under the moniker RBackhander76. That's capital R, capital B, little @hander76. Or you can check out my visual representation in photograph mode on the IG. That's Rocket Backhander, one word, on Instagram. AJ?
I can't wait. I can just picture the boys skating out in Nashville, and we're going to hear it all the way on the broadcast. This is going to be... final thoughts. I'm just going to be real interested to see how the Sharks do over these next three games. These are going to be crucial. Let kind of measure yourself up. The Sharks have not seen the Central a whole hell of a lot this season, and they've been bringing it. So this is going to be a really good kind of measuring stick for the guys on this roadie. There's only two more roadies after this, and also let's see what Doug Wilson has up his sleeve. So, tread deadline show next week, kids. I am AJ_Strong on the Twitter, the Instagram, the what seems to be the everything. Also doing some Insta for Teal Town USA. And check out tealtownusa.com. We got a couple new articles up there. today and yesterday from our buddy Felix and our buddy Ian. So go check those out. And always do us a favor, subscribe to us on whatever podcast platform you're listening to us on, whether it's SoundCloud, iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, TuneIn, it don't matter. Do us a favor, subscribe, give us a thumbs up, follow us on Twitter at Pucknologist, and as always, follow at TealTownUSA on the Twitter machine. 42 is in the books, kids. See you all next time for the trade deadline special, guys.
Hot bod.
Hot bod.
That totally wasn't even scripted either.